Well, good afternoon to everyone in Southern California. It's a beautiful day. I believe the 84 degrees outside. It's beautiful. Wish you could all be here, those who are on the Zoom meetings. And we miss you. We hope that you're all doing well. Welcome to our guests. We're glad to have you along with us, and welcome to our church family. If you'd all please open your Bibles to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. We'll start in verse 1. Matthew 24 and verse 1. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him. And Jesus said to them, "Do you see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, "Tell us, when will all these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and at the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." Those are difficult words. Would you be so kind as to turn to 2 Timothy 3? 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3, starting in verse 1. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away." Does that sound like our world today? This world is in chaos. Everyone is wearing masks. Asia is on the rise and threatening Western democracies. There is civil presidential election. Some are predicting an economic crisis as thousands of businesses that have been shuttered by the pandemic file for bankruptcy, with the ripple effect putting pressure on the larger financial institutions. No doubt, this is all affecting your life. Technology is changing our world faster than we can barely keep up with, and it promises all a better life with more technological advances. Just trust us. Our spiritual institutions are being threatened by lawlessness and moral relativism, and churches are dividing over moral degeneration. A new world order led by non-Christian globalists threaten the moral fabric of our nation and Western society. Family dynamics are quickly changing, putting pressure on the nuclear family of a male father and a female mother. Does this sound like the world we live in today? It's not. It's the world Christians lived in 100 years ago. And they were scared and divided and worried, just like we are today. They wore masks because of the 1918 Spanish flu. Following World War I, the war to end all wars, and the Spanish flu, came the Depression of 1920 to 21, also known as the Forgotten Depression. Imperial Japan is on the rise and conquering other Asian countries. The Scopes monkey trial in 1925 was the result of educated elites pushing God out of schools and replacing it with Charles Darwin and the Origin of Species, the belief that humans actually evolved from apes. It divided the country in two parts, those who believed in evolution and those that didn't. This belief that man evolved from apes led churches to splitting and new moral laws being passed to protect schools. It also led to fundamentalism springing up as a religious movement. A League of Nations led by the United States was formed to try and prevent world war from ever occurring again. It was led by globalists. The family unit was changing as men and women left rural farms and moved to higher paying wages in the cities, disrupting the family unit. With this race to the cities came a rise of promiscuity during the Roaring Twenties. Technology was changing our society with the new technology of radio, automobiles, talking movies, and telephones. This new technology would solve all of our working problems and would allow us to live longer and in luxury and in ease. We would have no more worries because of this technology. Everything was changing so fast, and Christians had to believe that they were living in the end times described in Matthew 24 and 2 Timothy 3. Today, we are still wearing masks 100 years later because of the Chinese flu. Our financial institutions are bracing for the full impact of shutting down the world's largest economy and worry about another recession or possibly even a depression. China is on the rise and lulling gullible countries into its sphere of influence and enslavement. The Bible is under assault by the godless New World Order, and our churches are being torn apart by lawlessness. The nuclear family unit, led by a male dad and a female mother, is under attack like never before. Technology allows us to not only hear each other a world away, like in 1921, but technology now allows us to actually see each other a world away through Zoom meetings. Like the 1920s, the techno geniuses promised that technology will solve all of our world's problems. Elon Musk will shove a shunt into our brains so that he can solve strokes, blindness, and other maladies while he prepares to escape from Earth and go to Mars because he doesn't trust the human race. Larry Kurzweil from Google says that nanotechnology in just 8 years will allow us to keep extending our life indefinitely. When we finally do break down, when our bodies finally do break down, we will have downloaded so much information electronically about ourselves through Google and other applications that Mr. Kurzweil believes that we'll be able to live for immortality in the cloud as some great big electronic pulse. They are promising immortality in the cloud. Like 100 years ago today, our Christian faith is under attack. It feels like the end of the world should be right around the corner because of what we read in Matthew 24 and 2 Timothy 3. And yet 100 years have passed. They thought 100 years ago that it was all going to end. They were experiencing some of the same issues that we're experiencing today. When Jesus Christ didn't return, what happened to the Christian faith 100 years ago? Did it just give up? Was it too hard? Did they lose heart? Matthew 24:12 says, "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." Did that happen? Perhaps for some, but not for all. I can guarantee you one thing. Jesus Christ is still alive and well, and he is still on his throne, and he is still there for Christians to turn to for help and strength. I believe Christians 100 years ago used a fundamental belief structure to help them endure to the end. Let's read about this fundamental belief structure for us today found in Mark 13. So if you would, please turn to Mark 13. It's a simple passage, but it's one that Jesus Christ uses to get his point across. And I think especially right now in today's modern world with modern media, it applies to us directly. Mark 13, verse 32. "But of that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to each his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster? Was it 100 years ago? Is it 100 years from now? Or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. Today I want to focus on Mark 13 and glean three keys to watching as a Christian. Key number one, watch with balance and don't lose your light. Let's turn to John 16, verse 33. John 16, verse 33. The first point is to watch with balance and don't lose your light. John 16, 33 says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Do you have good cheer today? Or are you anxious? What are we watching that might cause us to be anxious instead of having good cheer? What are we watching? Is it bringing us peace or anxiety? If it's anxiety, then maybe we're watching the wrong things, or maybe we're not watching in the proper balance. Let's go to Matthew 6. Matthew 6, verse 22. Matthew 6, verse 22 says, "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon," or riches. My question is, what are we watching and listening to, and how is that affecting us? I don't know about you, but I can suffer from media addiction, where you're just constantly looking at your phone, looking at your iPad, looking at your computer to see what the most recent thing is that's happening, where it's an ever-changing world. It's a dynamic world. And we wind up looking all day long, and it starts to affect us. At least it does me. I want to give you a quote. See if anybody can name this person that gave this quote. It says, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." Anybody know who gave that quote? It's appropriate that we would give that quote today, since it's Martin Luther King Jr. holiday on Monday. But Martin Luther King Jr. gave that quote. No, I think sometimes we're inundated by this world's media so much that it can actually take away the light that should be in us. We should be experiencing a joy that's in us. And unfortunately, sometimes we look at the media, this world's media, so much that it can actually strip that joy away. It can get us out of focus, and we can become unbalanced as a Christian. So one of the keys from Mark 13 is to watch media with balance and don't let it lose your light. Now, some would say, "Well, listen, Bob, we're supposed to be sighing and crying. We're supposed to be watchmen." That's true. We are. Ezekiel 9:4 says, "And the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done within it." That's true. We should recognize what's evil. We should stand against it. But if that's all we do, day in and day out, doesn't that rob us of the light that should be in us? Another scripture from Ezekiel. "Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring the sword upon a land and the people of that land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman, when he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself. But he who takes warning will save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes away any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood I will require on the watchman's hand. So we have a responsibility to preach God's word, to preach what is righteous to the world and what is sin. So you, son of man, of Israel, therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require on your hand. So as watchmen, we have a responsibility. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Ezekiel is often quoted to say, see, I need to watch all this media. I'm a watchman, and I need to fulfill this. Yes, we should be salt and light to a sinful and dying world, but we shouldn't be drowned by the inundation of media along the way. Key number one is, don't let this world's media overwhelm you. Key number two, watch as a Christian soldier, not a Roman soldier. Let's go back to Mark 13, please. Mark 13, the word watch here in verse 37, and throughout this passage, the word watch, and it's mentioned four times in this passage, watches, that word is custodia. Custodia, it means custody. Literally, a Roman sentry watch. So a Roman soldier would stand watch or guard over something. Roman soldiers were used to not only watch, but also to work and build. Roman soldiers built many of the roads that connected the Roman Empire. When they weren't fighting wars, they were building roads and other places for the Roman Empire. We should be watching as a soldier, but also working. Remember in Mark 13:34, if you go to Mark 13:34, Jesus Christ says, it is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work. So we all have something to do. God gives us all some work to do and command. In our lives, we should be both the workers for God and be watching for Jesus Christ. We are to be Christian soldiers, not Roman soldiers. The emphasis in Mark 13:34 is that we should not be overwhelmed with what is going on in the world, but be focused on doing our Father's work. Are we preparing our hearts at this time? The person that's watching is diligent. He's ever watchful, knowing that his master is coming back. Are we that way? Or are we allowing this world to tell us how to act? Is it so suffocating from the media and from other outlets in this world, the politics, the things going on? If everything is such a downer, if you will, is that affecting us? Is that causing us to lose heart in watching? Because once that happens, once we lose heart in watching, the next step is to lose heart in who we're supposed to be watching for. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Jeremiah 24:7 says, then will I give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return to me with their whole heart. Psalms 51:10 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Key number two from Mark 13 is, be a Christian soldier, not a Roman soldier. Watch diligently for our Savior and do his work. James 1:27 says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. That's what a Christian soldier is doing. I had a dean of students that taught freshman Bible in college. His name is Richard Thompson. Richard Thompson saw a lot of young men come to Ambassador College, and they all had big egos. And they all thought they were going to be the next greatest thing. And Richard Thompson said something very simple and direct and down to earth. He said, if you want to do something great for Jesus Christ, go mow a widow's lawn. Go mow a widow's lawn. It's dirty, it's hot, and nobody's watching other than Jesus. And that's where he wants us. As a Christian soldier, we should be about our Father's business, doing his work as he gives us direction, watching and preparing in a vigilant manner with good works. What about the third key? The third key from Mark 13 for watching. Let's go back to Mark 13 and verse 33. Mark 13, verse 33 says, take heed, watch, and pray. Don't forget those two words together, watch and pray. The more chaotic, the more we need prayer. Last spring, when the pandemic was raging, our business where I work was under tremendous financial pressure. It was terrible. I remember getting down on my knees and praying at least 5 to 10 times a day. There was a little bathroom and I would go off to the side and pray. Just ask God for help. My nerves were shot. You know, you're getting short with people. Everybody's under the gun. People are crying because they're afraid they're going to get the disease. Everything was chaotic. Did a lot of praying. As the spring went on, it turned into summer, things started to settle down. I noticed I wasn't praying as much. And I asked myself, why is that happening? Is it just because I'm not under that type of pressure anymore? I'm going to ask the question, what is your watching of news to prayer ratio? What is your watching of news to prayer ratio? Are we newsaholics and not prayeraholics? If your prayer life is in need of some spiritual rejuvenation, you might ask to start a prayer group with people here, people that you know. I was surprised to find out that there's a number of congressmen and senators that actually get together and pray on a regular basis at our nation's capital. I'm sure there's other groups too. I know in Glendora, there's a mother's prayer group that gets together and prays. Have you thought about adding that to your prayer life? Maybe you want to use the example of Daniel in Babylon and pray 3 times a day. I think that would help steady our daily lives, wouldn't you? In a crisis, we need more prayer, not less. We can pray for our leaders, pray for each other, pray for God's kingdom to return, setting up his government that will lead in loving righteousness. See how your life changes for the better when we pray more. Philippians 4 and verse 6 says, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The only way we get there is by watching and praying. Romans 12:12 says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. I can tell you last spring, I didn't feel very patient in tribulation. I felt tribulent in tribulation. I felt anxious in tribulation. I was far from Romans 12:12. I tried, but I think I needed more prayer. The good thing is that I learned from those prayers. And as the year went on, I learned more and more by praying more earnestly, asking God to work with my heart more, change it from the inside out. Work with me, change me. Colossians 4, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the work to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains. Isn't that great? The Apostle Paul, he's in prison. He's in chains. What's he doing? He's watching. He's watching for Jesus Christ, and he's trying to find any opportunity to promote Jesus Christ to the Roman authorities. What would happen 100 years, 200 years, 300 years later? Christianity spread throughout the Roman Empire. And eventually it washed up on these shores. As Mark 13 says, we should watch and pray. Create a new prayer dynamic in your life to match these times. You can try the Daniel prayer method, get a prayer group going, pray for each other. Start a new and more dynamic prayer life this year. That's the third key from Mark 13. We live in a chaotic world. Mark 13 shows us that in times of trouble, we should be like that sentry, constantly watching, but with a balance. We should be a Christian soldier, not overwhelmed by this world's media. We should be vigilant and doing God's work and constantly praying as we watch for God to heal our hearts and help us through. Let's ask God for the self-control to turn off the media when it's overwhelming us, to be vigilant and serve someone as a good Christian soldier, and to be dedicated to a prayer dynamic that is more active in these troubling times. The Christians that were alive 100 years ago also lived in a chaotic world, just like us. They used the admonition of Mark 13 to help them overcome this world. They died as Christian soldiers, watching with balance, not being overwhelmed with this world's media. They watched as a Christian soldier doing God's work and vigilantly watching for his return. And they watched with a dynamic and fervent prayer. Let's be like them. If we can have peace in a chaotic world, we can fulfill the Christian watch.